Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, President of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. Today, I have a returning guest. I'm actually starting to return people, right? I feel like I'm Johnny Carson, right? Having people come back on the show again. I have a wonderful friend, Dr. Kristen Willmeer. And Dr. Kristen, welcome. It's so great to see you.
Dr. Oberstein, I love seeing you, that happy, joyful spirit of yours. It's been so much fun reconnecting.
Oh, it's so wonderful. And I want to tell that. Let me tell the audience a little bit about it. So you're going to hear this more because, I mean, she really doesn't need an introduction, but got her undergraduate degree in psychology from Boston College, went on to UCLA and did two masters at UCLA, one in physiological sciences and the other in neurobiology, and then got a PhD in neurobiology and did her post-fellowship doctorate at Cedars-Sinai in neurology. And she, Dr. Kristen, has been working with the brain in an amazing, amazing way. She's got a best-selling book called Biohack Your Brain. She just told me just before we started that it's no more hard copies, and now it's only in softback. But she's just doing amazing things. Just got back from England recently, spoke at the House of Lords, which I'd like to just go pray there. I don't know if there's prayers there, but certainly the more Lords I can have, the better, I guess, and now she started, which we're going to get into, a nonprofit based around children and their brain function, especially with sports and things like that, which we'll get into. But I think you're going to really, I know you're going to enjoy this. And, it's just great to have you. You are doing a lot of things. And I know you're living in LA, right? And
living in LA, I think you're doing more than I am, but I'm just trying to follow in your footsteps.
I don't think so, but I will say this. I mean, it's so cool what you're doing. So let's talk. I mean, obviously, biohacking your brain just kind of went off the charts, and you're not one to go out there and lecture all over the place and push it and do, your own podcasts and all that stuff, and I know that. I know that, you're really into your science work, which is amazing, and the work and the help that you're doing and the things you're doing. But that kind of took on legs of its own, right, with HarperCollins and all the other big places, and now you're into your nonprofit. But just what have you been doing? Like, what kind of stuff have you been doing around the brain? And just share with us some of the journey that you've been on.
Well, and the other thing that you probably didn't mention in the introduction was, I had the honor of working at the Amen Clinics. Wow. I was their director of clinical neuroimaging research. And for those who don't know the Amen Clinics, they're one of the largest outpatient psychiatric centers here in the United States. And we would use neuroimaging to help target and treat psychiatric disorders. So I was very fortunate working with Daniel Amen, because we had thousands of patients who would come into the clinic for brain scans. And a lot of our clinical research was, how do we use neuroimaging to target and treat psychiatric disorders in the brain and use natural ways to heal the brain, starting with dietary and lifestyle modifications, then nutraceuticals, then medications, and or advanced technologies that we had available, whether it's neurofeedback, transcranial magnetic stimulation, hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So I was very fortunate because I was in this sort of extraordinary clinical laboratory, being able to publish papers and seeing what made measurable changes to the organic brain, whether those changes were perfusion changes that would be long lasting, or changes in the electrical activity of the brain, which then helps to regulate behavior. And because of all that work, and you and I have discussed on one of the previous podcasts, sort of one of my loves was working with the professional athletes. So we did one of the largest brain imaging studies in living professional football players starting back in 2009, before you really heard, CTE was in sort of the common conversation, but it really started to take off in 2011, 2012, and 2015 when Bennett Amalo did the movie Concussion. And we had worked with 100 of these professional athletes doing sort of baseline imaging, imaging and psychiatric tests to see, does participating in football cause any long-term issues in the brain? And after working with the first 10 players out of 100, we realized this is a brain damaging sport. It can cause these longer lasting issues that can be both psychiatric and neurological. So most people think the neurological piece, right? You have a loss of cognition, attention, focus, but there's also the psychiatric piece, which I feel does not always get the attention it deserves. And, you know, treating behavioral issues and mood issues and anxiety and depression and suicidality. So we decided to have an open label clinical trial with these players, doing everything we could to help restore and rehabilitate brain function. And I was young and naive, you know, having come out of academia, working in mouse models of Parkinson's disease. And here I am now sort of doing more translational research. And it was visualizing using brain imaging, whether it was electrical or functional, that we could use these dietary and lifestyle modifications to make measurable changes in the brain that were long lasting, that we could see with neuroimaging. And nothing changes a person's behavior when they can actually see using neuroimaging that their brain looks better.
Right.
And it's why I wrote Biohack Your Brain, because pretty much everything we were doing with the professional athletes, we then moved into the clinical setting and we're using it with psychiatric patients. And, I started teaching these brain-directed weight loss groups where I would use dietary and lifestyle modifications to help improve people's brain health. And then the side effect was they would lose all of this weight, which is beautiful. So fast forward to now, what I am doing based on all of that great work is I started a nonprofit neuroscience center with the goal of working with cohorts of people that are exposed to brain injuries. So one cohort is going to be the kids who are exposed to these sort of repetitive impacts from participating in collision-based sports. And the focus is on soccer and football. So I have a prominent prep school here in California who I've been talking to work with their athletes, either soccer or football, and do sort of the baseline testing where you do cognitive and electrical imaging because it's easy and non-invasive, and then work with their players throughout the season to sort of, my goal is to sort of help keep their brain healthy as they're playing the sport. And then see how we're doing over time. So to track them longitudinally. But the other goal is to also work with firefighters and military and police. So, you know, I probably got another 30 years of a career. So I'm going to start with the kids and then, you know, move on to some of the other.
Follow them as they go. Right. You know, and we call that, you know, when you talk about military police, you talk about firefighters, you talk about, you know, even teachers, you know, I call them occupational
teachers.
You know, I mean,
yes.
They're constantly in physical mode. They're constantly in fight or flight, you know, that kind of thing. And everything is just stressing their nervous system, right? Because, you know, neurologically based beats. But I think it's really cool because, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, and you probably don't, but we have Bennett Amalo speak at one of our programs called The Wave. Yeah. And he was incredible. I mean, he was really, really incredible. And we had one of our top researchers in chiropractic. Her name is Heidi Havoc, and she's out of New Zealand. And she was here. She spoke on the program, and we did a green room with them afterwards. It was almost like a press conference. And she said, yeah. Can I come? And of course you can come. You front row, you know. And then we took questions from the audience, and she asked a question. And she said, you know, how do you do it? Because she said, one of my biggest detractors are my peers in my profession.
Right.
that I want. See, you know, and he said, same thing with me. He said, they were telling me I'm crazy. You know, they were telling me that I shouldn't do this and this is wrong. And you know, he said, just follow the truth. I mean,
he's an extraordinary human being. I love Bennett. So I met him back in 2009. He came to the clinic because he heard what we were doing with the pro football players, and he was coming to, you know, teach us about what he knew. And it was a meeting of the minds. I actually remember I sat with him in our conference room because I'm a neurobiologist. I used to study at the level of the single cell, right? I would dissect out the brain of rats or mice. I'd just dissect out the hippocampus or dopamine neurons and do experiments. And I'd have to keep these neurons alive for a month and sort of figure out, because I was working in Parkinson's disease, I was figuring out why neurons die in a genetic form of Parkinson's. So I talked to Bennett, and we were just having a very simple dialogue on what happens to the brain when you take an impact, right? Acceleration, deceleration forces to the brain. And it's, I mean, it's physics. You know, you basically are shearing and tearing the axons and blood vessels, by the way, of the brain with these forces. And he and I both agreed it takes time for the nervous system to restore. So right after you have, you know, an acute impact to the brain, right? And it, you know, you might sort of be mildly dazed. There's the ionic disturbances that happen at the cellular level. And, you know, the brain can sort of get back and get back to normal functioning. The problem is it's the repeated impacts over time that are shearing and tearing these very delicate blood vessels and axons. And it's that repeat nature over time that's causing the accumulation of the misfolded tau, which then gets phosphorylated and is now sort of the neuropathological hallmark for CTE. I think people aren't fully aware of the biomechanical forces that are being imposed upon the brain. And a really elegant study that was done by Broglio et al. Looked at high school athletes. He followed high school football players over the course of four seasons. I believe it was 95 players. And I'm going to ask you to take a guess at the linear forces to the brain of a high school football player just playing one season of football. What? In G forces. So give me like a G force over the season.
I'd probably say five.
5G. Okay. So I'll make it really simple. It's 16,000.
Oh,
G-forces to the brain. 16,000. So when you put a helmet on the head that has the accelerometers in it, where you can measure both linear and rotational forces, one season of high school football, 16,000 linear G-forces to the brain, 1 million radian per second squared of the twisting of the brain. And that's just one season. So if you multiply that times four, what you're getting 60,000 G-forces, and you've got these kids, a million kids participate in high school football, you know, throughout the United States, 70,000 will make it to college and play at the level of the NCAA. 2% of those will make it to the NFL. So you've got all these kids that are being exposed to these repetitive forces. Now, if you talk to Bennett Amalu, he doesn't believe that kids should play these collision-based sports at all.
He said that.
Right? I know. He's very clear. And because of the biomechanical forces, and it's the biomechanical forces to the child's brain combined with the aging brain, right? That starts at around 40, where, you know, we're not in that growth phase anymore. And so we start to have the atrophy of the brain by a very small percent per decade, but it does happen. I feel it's the combination of these two things that start to accelerate, you know, brain aging in these kids. So because of what I've seen from our published research over at the Amen Clinics, we see massive perfusion deficits throughout the brain in these athletes. We published in the pro athletes, but we also worked with collegiate and high school athletes, and not just in football, in soccer and ice hockey and MMA and boxing. So because the perfusion deficits, when you compare them to a normative database, like a healthy individual, right, age match control, they're so great. And that's probably because of the tearing of the blood vessels as well. Like I was talking to you about, restoration of brain function needs to be top of mind. And I feel like learning how to embrace brain health strategies and teaching these to the athletes is really important. And also teaching them when to step out of the game, because most of these kids aren't going to tell you they've got brain fog or a headache or they're dizzy, right? They want to play. They love their sports. So I think there's that middle ground where we can allow them to play, but we have to be really honest about what's going on in the brain. And, you know, that's kind of where my heart lies.
I love it. And you know, I have to tell you this because, you know, we have I don't want to say it's a saying in chiropractic, but, you know, if there's trauma above the neck, you'll have trauma in the neck. And if there's trauma to the neck, you'll have trauma above the neck, because it's one contiguous unit, you know, even though the spine stops at the atlas, right? You know, but the object sits on it, and it's going to happen. And that's why any kind of whiplash, you know.
How is it that somebody can get in a car accident and just have a whiplash injury? And that could be 25 Gs or 50 Gs. And, you know, that case can go to court and somebody could win $1 million in damages. And then we've got our beautiful children who are going out and, you know, participating in collision-based sports that are being exposed to these G-forces. And because the brain, like, you know, most people never see an image of their brain. It's like mild, invisible brain injuries that are happening. And the brain is so resilient. You know, my God, how many times have you fallen or hit your head? And we kind of get back up and move on. I think people like Bennett Amalu or myself, who just studying the brain has been something we do every single day. I mean, I image the brain every day. And I see the changes, and we kind of want to be the cheerleaders for your brain and say, hey, or give your brain a voice. This is what's happening, right? So we had the pandemic and now we're in this mental health crisis, right? And people are very aware of mental health issues and brain fog, which is wonderful. I want this to also be highlighted in sports, right? It's like we care more about the brain because of brain fog and COVID and neuroinflammation. So it's like, I don't want to forget about the contact and collision-based sports. I think it's really important. And because sports are so loved, I mean, look at our Super Bowl. I think there were 130 million people that watched, one third of the US population watched this sport. So people love watching it, but then the players go home, right? And have to
It's an industry, let's face it. It's an industry. It's a business upon itself. Forget it.
Yeah.
And what happened with Bennett was, you know, the NFL didn't want to have anything to do with this stuff. I mean, because it's an industry, and he was a disruptor to that, I understand.
Yes.
But here's the sad thing. I have to tell you, I don't know, it must have been 2017, I was over in, where was I? I was over in Jacksonville, Florida, and I met with the president of the NFL Players Association.
Yeah.
Retired players, right? And then a buddy of mine who was good friends with him because they played together at Jacksonville. And so we're talking about brain health, and we're talking about this stuff. And he said, yeah. He said, you know, the NFL's offering us all to get tested, but no one wants to go get tested. And I said, and let's see if they have CTE. And, right. And I asked him, I said, well, did you get tested? And he goes, no, I don't want to. And I said, oh, cool. Can I ask you why? He said, I don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know, because there was no answers to what they could do, right?
It's almost like finding out you have Alzheimer's, yeah, right? And we have no cure. So CTE, currently there is no cure, and again, this is why I wrote the book, Biohack Your Brain. I was blown away that we could restore perfusion to the brain using hyperbaric oxygen therapy, using certain nutrient therapy, helping the changes in dietary and lifestyle. And they were consistent over time, right? We would scan the players 6 months after they started the protocol. And some players came back a year later, 2 years later, we rescanned them and the perfusion changes stayed. And I was like, wow, we can help. So we can't restore torn blood, torn neurons. Like that's the brain has to decide what it's going to do with those. But we can make the perfusion improvements, and we can also restore healthy brain network activity through, oh my gosh, the neurofeedback protocols that we can do now that hit both at the cortical and subcortical levels. It's extraordinary. So there's it's working on the neuroplasticity of the brain. That's the piece that's really exciting and revolutionary. And I think why we want players to get tested and know what's going on so we can help them sort of live a healthier life.
Right.
I mean, you're not
they
wrong.
They know that though. And where the missing link was, you know, they were at this point, 2017, they were only getting the test, but you offered the test, but nothing to do with the test right afterwards, right?
Well, even when we were doing this in 2009, people were afraid, but they wanted to know. So imagine and our study, by the way, started very grassroots. We had players who were already coming to the clinic to get tested. And Anthony Davis, who's a Hall of Fame running back from USC, was like, I want you guys to talk to our NFL Players Association group in LA. And I'd love for you to do a study. And we initially were just going to do the 30 players. 30 turned into 100. I had a waiting list. I think at one point I had like 250 players who wanted to do this. Now, the benefit of those who actually came into our study, because as they've advanced in age, right, the degenerative processes have been happening, and some of them now have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, they're able to use that data that we collected for other purposes. Yeah,
which is great. And, you know, it's just so important. And once again, knowledge is power, right?
Knowledge is power. And don't be afraid because look at CRISPR technology now that we're using and cancer immunotherapies. Like, I feel the next 20 years are going to usher in a revolution of novel therapeutics. But I feel we have to be mindful if you're going to play a contact or collision-based sport. You have to be aware that this is happening at the cellular level and it's sort of speeding up the brain aging process for you. And if you have a history of Alzheimer's in your family, or you have your homozygous for ApoE4 alleles, which, you know, means that you're not going to be able to restore and repair your neurons the same way somebody who's maybe ApoE2 or a different variant, it's being more mindful and learning to make better choices. But I wouldn't be afraid if you played these sports. By the way, I showed horses competitively for 10 years and I've fallen off hundreds of times. And we've worked with professional jockeys. I mean, my sport is no different than playing football, except football, they take more impacts, but I've taken hundreds of them myself. So I also feel in working with athletes, there's sort of a kinship and an understanding.
You know the competitiveness and you know, they say in high school sports, the number one concussion sport for women.
Yeah.
Volleyball. And it's like.
Over hockey?
Over hockey. Well,
I
won't say over hockey because not everybody has hockey teams, but I
know, you know what? I was in Boston and I think like hockey is like a national sport.
Hockey teams in Boston, in New England. Mm-hmm. No. But what is volleyball, but it's more the repetitive up and down like this. It's more.
You think that's more than soccer where they're doing the headers?
What they say. I mean.
Yeah, that's interesting.
What they say. It's just, you know, who knows? I mean, the truth is they just need to be tested, right? And if we could test them all, and be able to see where they're at and be able
baseline testing is that's part of the what I'd like to usher in now is sort of into the collective space. Like, let's do our baseline testing. Let's use some non-invasive neuroimaging. Let's track the athletes. Let's help support them emotionally. I mean, now it makes perfect sense why, you know, some of these football players have real problems with emotional stability and irritability and anger. You have more compassion for them because it's the damage that's happening at the cellular level. that manifests in the psychiatric symptoms. And again, you know what? Yeah, I always laugh at Dr. Amen. He's so funny. He always called psychiatry the redheaded stepchild of the medical profession because nobody ever wants to go to a psychiatrist. It's okay to go to the neurologist, but the psychiatrist. But when you see a lot of athletes struggle with psychiatric issues, if you know that it's due to the trauma to the brain, and you're aware that we have these really amazing technologies now, like the SW Loretta neurofeedback that can work and retrain brain network activity, right? We can work with your anxiety network or your default mode network and help make the connections a little bit more stable, really through operant conditioning. You're doing it yourself. Right. We're just setting the parameters for you. I think there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of room for hope and optimism of what is possible. Yes. So I'm, you know, people like Bennett and myself, we're here to just be honest, right? To come to the dialogue with honesty and integrity, and then help people move forward and hold their hands.
Facilitators for them, you know? And one of the big things when we were with NFLPA was that it's not the athletes that are coming forward. It's the spouses. It's the mothers. It's the
wives,
sisters, you know, it's these people who are coming forward and saying there's something wrong, because the athlete won't admit that there's something wrong, right? Because it's just not in their competitive nature to do that. It's on their DNA like that. And then when you see all the suicides and you see these things that Bennett saw, you know, and then Junior Seau and other people, where they want to keep it so hush hush. And yet, you know, I think it's out now. And I think we have to go beyond that, and we have to be talking about health, brain health, not just fixing or not just, you know, injuries and things like that, but really about brain health, and then making the choices people want to make. But I'll tell you one thing, and I know you know this because you see a chiropractor regularly, you know, you think about it, you know, you're talking about the brain, and we know that you can't have a head injury without a neck injury, and yet you've got the atlas, you've got the axis, you've got the brain stem and then the spinal cord. And if the connection isn't there to feed back up and the flow of CSF and all the different mechanics that go around that, they're never going to get healthy.
They will never get healthy. I will tell you, and you know, I've been doing some of the research with Dr. Jackson, right, with his exoskeleton. I remember in working with him, we looked up, because I did not know this, like, we talk about concussion of the brain, but you can get concussion of the spinal cord. And I believe the G forces to be concussed with the spinal cord they're very low. And I was quite surprised. So you're right. Anything that's happening to the brain is reverberating through the spinal cord. It's all connected. So it's one functional unit. So I feel chiropractic care is really important, a very important element when we talk about all sort of the dietary and lifestyle modifications, the non-invasive things that you can do, and talking about the movement of cerebrospinal fluid right through the brain is really important. There was a subset of NFL players that I remember went to Florida to work with a group who was doing something a very specific kind of chiropractic adjustment to help support perfusion to the brain and, you know, improve electrical.
And I know what that was. It was an upper cervical group and just working the atlas axis, because they were also working with brain injured service people, like, you know, people. And that's where it started. And they were starting to do upper cervical work with them. And then the NFLPA, and that was part of what we were doing, where we were talking about getting involved with this with them, right? And we were actually moving down that track, and then the pandemic happened, and then, you know, everything kind of sideways in the world. But it's so incredibly important. And I just have to tell you, I mean, the work you're doing as one person, and I know you have people around you that support you, but, you know, just, you know, that we have to amplify this work, and we have to amplify the message, because it's really, and then once we get the message out, we need more places that people can go to do.
Yes.
But we can't test every kid in this country right now who's 13 years old and has played, contact sports for the last 5 or 7 years, you know, like, we just can't do that. We have to get the facilities, and we have to change our healthcare model to a true healthcare model. To where
this is why I love the chiropractic piece, because your profession is very much aligned with doing the appropriate dietary and lifestyle modifications that are required to maintain great brain health. Before I worked at the Aiming Clinics and really got into the nutraceutical piece, and you know, you and I have talked about this. When I saw that nutraceuticals can make a measurable change in brain function using neuroimaging, I mean, I couldn't believe it, because you never know, right? If, do you take this? Does it work? Does it not work? How do you know? What's the quality of the product, right? What's the right dosage? But I will tell you, my chiropractor was already talking to me about nutraceuticals and nutritional supplements since 1998, right? He was at the forefront of doing this. And so I really have to applaud everybody in your profession, because it's such an integral component that really needs to be taught, as we were saying, needs to be taught to these kids. Like, let's make brain health a priority, whether you're playing a contact or collision-based sport or not.
We need to teach the parents, because when the parents get it, the kids.
When the parents get it, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's huge. Yeah. Well, I will tell you, the American Academy of Neurology has now made brain health their number one priority. It is their top initiative. And, you know, because they realize that is the way to slow neurological disease. And they realize we have to get out in front of it. And I'm really heartened, because I'm a member of the AAN, I'm really heartened to see how they are opening up now to nutraceuticals. They're actually like, omega-3 fatty acids are good. You know, dietary and lifestyle interventions like the Mediterranean diet can slow degenerative decline and reverse cardiovascular disease. It's really nice to see the very traditional
and it is wonderful. Medical. It's wonderful. And, you know, you must be like a fish out of water sometimes, where it's like, hello, you know, but I get it. And it takes time for change. We know that it takes time for change. But what I want to do is I really want you to, I'm going to get you up to the Bay Area. You're going to just do a short flight. I'm going to get you a ticket. And you're going to
okay.
I want you to see our brain center. We have a brain center now on the campus.
Oh my God, you've got a brain center?
Brain center.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so cool. We're doing functional neurology. We're doing really cool stuff.
You told me. Yes,
yeah,
you told me about the functional neurologist.
And it's done. Now it's not me, but you know, but and it's wonderful. And it's just when you see the potential that's in there and you see that, but not just we love taking care of people who are, you know, chronic concussion or brain injuries or whatever,
right?
But also optimal potential, right? Also bringing in the top rated athletes and be able to watch them just go up just that much of a
improve performance. Yeah. It's funny. That's sort of the interesting line that I'm walking, because what I really talk to with these athletes, I sort of come in and say, I'm here for performance enhancement and academic enhancement, right? So I'm also wanting to help support your brain so you thrive academically. But I also know on the back end, I'm really helping to like protect their beautiful developing brains. And I feel, you know what, that feels like such a valuable contribution in my heart. Like, this is what I'm here to do. And I'm like so honored that I even get the opportunity to, and it feels good. So I'd love to, I've got to come see your brain center.
You're a breath of fresh air. You are so, and I know your passion and I know your heart. And I know, you know, this isn't, I mean, you could be doing a lot, you could be on a circuit right now making mega doing podcasts and doing lectures and writing more books and doing all this stuff. And I know you could do all that. And yet, you know, your focus and your love for people and for humanity and to make a difference in people's lives overshadows all of that. And for that, I'm so proud to call you my friend. And I really mean it. It's so beautiful. So, Kristen, thank you. Thank you for all that you're bringing, you know, to the world. And I think we need to kind of replicate you and, you know, get about 20, 50, 100, 2000, you know, and where people are out there amplifying this message. And I think that's the goal. You know, the goal will be to have a brain day, you know, throughout the world where everyone's talking about the brain, you know, talking about the nervous system and
what the brain and spinal cord. It's funny. I even mentioned that when I talk about my book. If you read the intro, I'm like, the brain and spinal cord are intimately connected. A lot of people don't think about that. So, you know, let's remind people, if it's, you're right, if you got the damage to the brain, you're going to have the damage to the body. And so your profession is pioneering. I mean, that's, we need you. We need more of you.
We need each other.
We need each other. And I do want to say, I'm just so proud of what you're doing in India and bringing, you know, your great work, you know, to other countries and making this global. So
I see your next center, you know, your next neuro center in India.
You know what? I will tell you, my father was a pilot for Pan Am. Like, he's flown the globe. He would be very proud if I made a center in India.
And I will
connect it to yours. We'll connect it to yours.
I flew Pan Am way back, you know.
Wasn't it amazing? Wasn't that an amazing air? Oh, my God. The days of flying.
Thank you. And thank you for all you're doing. I really mean it. And you know, we're going to get you up to the college. You're going to speak to the students.
I would love that.
For you. You're going to see the Brain Center, see all the cool things we're doing. We've got something out. When you see the things, we have cone beam CBCT here, cone beam computer tomography, you know, that we can check the nervous system and check the spine with. And
this sounds fancy. I need to see this.
I need to see what you guys are up to.
We'll make a date. Thank you for the great honor of being on the Leadership Line with you again today. It is just, you're just such a ray of sunshine. And I'm really proud to call you my friend.
Thank you. And likewise, and really likewise. And to all of our viewers, thank you. You know, thanks for tuning in, man, with Dr. Kristen talked about. I mean, brain health is where it's at. And we know that, you know, neurologically, we know that. In the chiropractic world, we know that. In the neuroscience world, we just have to get everyone to know that. And biohacking your brain, pick it up. We'll put a link down below. So, you know, no more hard copies, but you can get a soft copy. And just, you know, keep spreading the word. Share this podcast. There's others who need to hear about this. There's athletes. And we'll put down where to get that with Dr. Kristen's a nonprofit center. We'll have that set up also for you so you can see it. And once again, thank you for joining us. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks are Life by Life Wests with myself and my wife. But we're just thrilled that you keep coming back and you keep listening, to keep sharing these messages, because that's why myself and Dr. Chris, that's what we do to this, is because, you know, it's all about the message. It's not about us. It's about the message. So keep loving those around you, hugging those that you know that need hugging. And remember, you are much more powerful and your body is much more powerful than you and I and all of us were ever led to believe. And keep spreading that message. So until I see you again, for Dr. Chris and myself, we'll bid you adieu and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today. And for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.